Well, it's such a joy and an honor to be here with you. Thank you for that generous and gracious invitation. I've been coming to Africa for 20 years, off and on, and so always a joy to be back here. This is my third trip to South Africa, but the first time I ever came to Africa, I landed in Joburg, and so South Africa will always have a special place in my heart. It is an honor to be here on behalf of the Baptist World Alliance. This is your Baptist family at a global level. Did you know that there are global Baptists? Today we have 239 conventions and unions, member bodies inside of the Baptist World Alliance, of which the Baptist Union of South Africa is one of them. We have Baptists in 125 countries and territories, a network of about 169,000 churches representing 47 million Baptists. This is your Baptist family. From Bangladesh to Brazil, from Jordan to Jamaica, from Cambodia to Canada, from Switzerland to South Africa. This is your global Baptist family. And it is a joy to serve together all over the world and to see how the Lord is active and His ministry is unfolding. The Baptist World Alliance was formed in 1905 in London, England. And when I started last year, Pastor, I said, how many Baptist conventions were there in 1905 to give a prophetic word to call forward a global family and are still part of the Baptist World Alliance today? And as we did a little research, we found that there were 35 Baptist conventions around the world that were there in 1905 and still there today. And I was so glad when we had a little ceremony last year to recognize those 35 founding members to call out the name of the Baptist Union of South Africa. Thank you, Baptists of South Africa, for being there with the global Baptist family for 115 years, for being part of this wonderful family that stretches all around the world. Some of you may have come through 3 or 4 years ago now to Durban in 2015, where the Baptist World Alliance had our World Congress. It was the first World Baptist Congress to be held in all of Africa. And so I'm so grateful that it was here in South Africa. Next year, we'll be having our next World Congress in Rio de Janeiro, and I hope that each and every one of you will come and participate. It'll be an awesome moment as 3,000 or 4,000 Baptists from all over the world gather together to pray, to worship, to celebrate, to serve. As we have speakers from around the world, as we have dozens of workshops, and I hope that you and your church will make an effort to be there and to worship with us. If you have your Bible, would you open up to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis chapter 12, one of the most important passages in the Scripture. It's a passage that calls us to leave the comforts of home, the comforts of culture, in order to journey with God in faithful obedience. One of the joys that I have as General Secretary is to travel around and to meet with various individuals and to hear the stories of how men and women are serving God, sometimes even in the most incredibly difficult and challenging of contexts. A couple of years ago, I was in Somalia visiting a group of underground churches there, trying to learn from them and listen to them and to let them know that the broader family would pray with them and stand with them in the midst of their challenging circumstances. One of the pastors that we met there was an individual by the name of Abdullahi, and he shared his story. He said, when I was a 9-year-old little boy, I'd never met a Christian. I'd never been to church. I didn't own a Bible, but as a 9-year-old little boy, one night I had this vision. And in this vision, I heard a voice that said to me, follow me. My name is Jesus. So he said, as a 9-year-old little boy, I woke up and I said, I'm going to follow Jesus. He said, unfortunately, it took me 6 years before I could find my very first Bible. But when I found that Bible, I began to read that Bible and study that Bible and memorize scriptures from that Bible until my family found me studying that Bible and turned me over as a 15-year-old to the authorities who incarcerated me for my faith for 6 months. So I asked Abdullahi, I said, well, what was that like? What was it like to be a 15-year-old in a Somalian prison, incarcerated for your faith in Jesus Christ? And he said, I really don't like to recall those days. They were filled with pain and with torture and with beating, and I don't really like to remember them. And I said, I understand that. I said, can I change the question then? I said, Abdullahi, pastor, was there a Bible passage, was there a verse that you held on to in the midst of that experience that allowed you to stay faithful? And he said, yes, I can answer that question. He said, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 20, where Jesus says, and I will be with you always, even to the very end of the world. And he said, as I held on to that Bible verse, as I proclaimed that Bible verse, as I said that Bible verse, even while they were torturing me, two of those who were inflicting that pain on my life came to me at prison, in secret, at night, and gave their life to Jesus Christ. This is your global family seeking to serve the Lord in the midst of some of the most challenging of contexts. Last year, I had the wonderful privilege of spending some time with a woman from North Korea named Shion. Shion has been imprisoned in North Korea 20 different times. She sold herself into a marriage in another country in order to escape from North Korea. She then traveled on foot and by car across multiple countries in order to try to journey back down into South Korea and find a new life. Now, when she got to South Korea, someone witnessed to her. And she had never heard of Jesus before, but she figured they must have a book about their religion. So she found a Bible. And as she read that Bible, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And this last December, she graduated with a Master of Divinity degree and is preparing herself to return to North Korea as a missionary. And I asked Shion, I said, Shion, is there a word, Shion, Zion? From Zion's hill, salvation still comes. Amen. And I asked Shion, I said, Shion, is there a message that you would like to share with our broader Baptist family? And these are her words. She said, this is a story of pain and torture in North Korea, but we see how God is moving. Even now, the gospel is being preached in North Korea. Even now, I don't say, Lord, don't send me back. I pray, Lord, let your will be done. For I believe, she concluded, that for the kingdom, there have to be sacrifices and martyrdom. That's a powerful statement about a willingness to journey, if need be, into difficult places to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a passion for Baptists all over the world to share the gospel in pursuit of an unfinished mandate. It's why leading in evangelism and mission remains one of the core programs of your Baptist World Alliance. For we know it is the glory of Jesus Christ that propels our commitment to mission. It is love for Jesus Christ that invites us to cross languages, cross cultures, cross communities, cross countries, cross borders, cross boundaries, cross whatever is necessary in order to share the gospel. It is honor for a crucified Savior and a resurrected Lord that calls us to empty ourselves for His worth. It is hope in Jesus Christ that gives us good news to share. For mission is not what you and I can achieve. It is about the honor of Jesus' name rising like a glorious dawn over all peoples and all places. For Jesus is worthy. Worthy of every tongue to confess. Worthy of every knee to bow. Worthy of every life to embrace. And we gather as BWA Baptists, as Baptists from around the world, and we say, we still believe. We still believe in a great commission. We still believe in a great commandment. We still believe in a glorious invitation to an unfinished mandate to make great the name of Jesus Christ among all peoples in all places. For He is worthy. And that invitation really begins right here in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, we begin in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Go, the Lord said in verse number 1. Now notice the order and the different areas Abram is asked to leave in order to be faithful. Go from your country. Go from your people. Go from your household. Go and journey, and I will show you. I will guide you. I will direct you. I will bless you as you go with me. The blessing of God is contingent upon the obedience of going. Go and journey. What does that look like in our lives? What does that look like to hear the word the Lord seems to be saying to Abram here? The word surrender. Surrender your place in your household. Surrender the security of home. Surrender the certainty of close familial relationships. Surrender inheritance and, if need be, economic assurance. Surrender title, position, and institution. Surrender an unwillingness to cross the street or feel uncomfortable. Surrender and go on a journey, and I will bless you. Go from your people. From those who know and love you best, from those who are most like you, most look like you, most think like you, most speak like you, embrace an invitation to a global blessing and a global impact more incredible, more surprising, more powerful than anything we could hope or imagine. Blessing contingent upon faithful obedience. Go, yes, even if need be, from your own country. Your place of comfort and culture. Journey into new relationships. Journey into new communities. Journey into new cultures and contexts and countries. The Lord said to Abram, go and I will journey with you. Worry less about the destination and more about a journey of obedience. Worry less about finances and more about an author and creator of all who always takes care of us. Worry less about borders and boundaries and differences and more about a cruciform love that stretches to all peoples and all places. For do we doubt that we serve a God who can always guide and direct our steps? Several years ago, I was teaching at a Baptist university in East Texas, and this Baptist university had a partnership in Ethiopia. And so I've been to Ethiopia 8 different times as part of this partnership and other initiatives. I love to go to Ethiopia. I love the people of Ethiopia. And this one particular time we went, we were beginning to look for a new partner. And so I went with a friend and a colleague, and we had driven way out into some rural areas, way outside of the capital city. And I love Ethiopia, but I don't love their roads. You know what I mean? You have great roads here in South Africa. You have a lot of great things here in South Africa. It is a great place to come and to stay and to be. Well, the roads in Ethiopia are not always so great. And you know, after you've spent a whole day, I'm sure you are holier than I am, but after I have spent a whole day bumping and being shaken, I feel a little frayed. Maybe some of you have had that experience. And after you've not eaten all day and you're driving around and you're trying to listen to the Lord and say, Lord, where should we go and where should we be and what should we do? And my colleague was feeling the same, and I could tell he was getting a little frustrated. And we finally drove into this very rural community. We drove past a couple of mosques down the hill into the bottom of this valley with this rural community. And in frustration, he turned to the driver and he said, would you pull the car over? And there are 3 young men who are standing right there on the corner. And I want you to pull the car over to those 3 young men. And I want you to ask them, where is the school? Because if we can't do anything else, let's at least go find a local school. So we pulled the car over, I'll confess, in some frustration. We pulled the car over in rural Ethiopia to three young men who happened to be standing on the corner. We rolled down the window and we said, excuse us, do you know where the local school is? And those three young men replied by saying, are you a Christian? I've been given a lot of directions before, but it doesn't usually begin with, are you a Christian? And so we responded, yes. Why? And those three young men said, well, we're the pastors of the only church in this Muslim community. And we've been praying that God would send us someone to partner with us to share the gospel in our village. Do we doubt that we serve a God who can take two pastors from East Texas and help them find the exact corner in rural Ethiopia, who can draw together people to partner together in sharing the hope of our belief in Jesus Christ? Go on a journey and I will bless you, I will lead you, I will guide you, and you will be a blessing. What does it mean that in this key, that the key word found in this foundational missional text is the word blessing? The Hebrew word is barak, and in these three verses it's used five times. You are blessed if you are obedient. You are blessed, and there's a lot of believers who want to stop right there with that reality, and it's true. We are blessed. Each and every one of us are blessed, but we cannot stop by simply saying we are blessed. For God's holy word does not stop there. We are blessed. And the text continues, in order that we may be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. For in the kingdom of God, blessing is not just for us to sit and soak. Blessing is not for our comfort and conformity. Blessing never belongs to us just alone. We cannot stop by simply saying we are blessed. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. Blessing is something you do not hold on to, but you live out in the context of others. To live as a blessing who serves others with a cruciform love. Last year I traveled with our current president of the Baptist Road Alliance, a wonderful South African by the name of Paul Mziza. And President Mziza and I traveled up to eastern Ukraine to visit Baptists who are suffering in a war now 4 years old. You likely remember that 4 years ago, Russia invaded eastern Ukraine and captured some of that territory and is still occupying some of that territory. So we went on your behalf of the Baptist World Alliance and we met with everyone. We met with the president of the country. We met with the prime minister, we met with the Minister of National Defense, the Speaker of the Parliament, multiple other parliamentarians, and then we did what was far more important. We got on a train and we went right down to the conflict zone. And we brought over pastors who were inside that occupied territory who came and shared with us. And one of those pastors said that the persecution that we are facing today is worse than anything we experienced during communist Soviet Union. He talked about how pastors, as they are walking down the road, will be pulled into to the forest and beaten by the police. How they'll be emptied of their pockets. You may know that just 4 or 5 weeks ago, all of the remaining Baptist churches inside that territory were seized by the government and utterly closed down. 20 Baptist churches seized. So we were there in that area. We were a kilometer and a half from the active conflict zone. We were standing in front of a building that had been bombed out by the war, looking over fields that were laced with landmines. And one of the Baptist pastors who was there shared these words. He said, I have heard it said that many churches today are like a body with the hands and the feet cut off. They are only a mouth who speak and eat for themselves. But we want to be a church who is active and reaching out. Intentional blessing. cruciform blessing, surrendered blessing, sacrificial blessing that serves others. And your Baptist Rhode Alliance seeks to do this on a daily basis. We are standing, for example, with the Baptist churches in Syria. Did you know there are 9 Baptist churches in Syria? There's some incredible stories. We'll have to save that for another sermon. We're standing with the Baptist leaders in Sri Lanka. You may remember the Easter bombing that occurred just several weeks ago, and your Baptist leaders are responding there to those attacks. We're standing with those brothers and sisters as they're seeking to respond. We're standing with Baptist brothers and sisters who are experiencing persecution in Bolivia and Bulgaria and all over the world as we seek to engage on their behalf. We're spending thousands of dollars every year to feed the hungry and drill water wells and support refugees and respond to natural disasters like the cyclone that hit Mozambique so recently, where we sent our Baptist director for aid just days after that cyclone hit so that she could be there with the convention, helping them respond with hands and feet and not just be a mouth cut off. We've been training theological leaders in 12 languages, thousands of leaders all over the world. We want to be a blessing. And every one of us can bless someone else. A co-worker, a classmate, a neighbor, a family member, every one of us can be an intentional, sacrificial, cruciform blessing to someone else. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. And we have one more final step and then we'll be done. Because the text does not end there, does it? We are blessed in order to be a blessing to whom, does the text say? To all the peoples of the earth. It's a passage that both Jewish and Christian scholars argue is one of the most foundational in all of the scriptures. And the model given here is very clear. We are blessed to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. God's blessing is relational. God's blessing is missional. God's blessing is multinational. And this missional model that we found here in Genesis chapter 12 is so important. It's repeated 6 different times just in the book of Genesis. And every time, we're always given the scope in which we are to seek out to live God's blessing. Genesis 12:3, all peoples of the earth. Genesis 18:18, all nations on the earth. Genesis 22:18, all nations of the earth. Genesis 26:4, all nations of the earth. Genesis 28:14, all peoples of the earth. Genesis 35:11, a community of nations. Paul says in Galatians 3:6-9 that Genesis chapter 12 is the forerunner. It is what he calls, quote, the gospel in advance. And what is that gospel in advance? We are blessed to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Are you praying for all the peoples of the earth? That they would come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ? I hope you will do so. Merritt's got a sign-up sheet before you leave if you want to receive a free weekly email that will help you pray for the nations of the earth. I want us to be a praying community. You can share with your words. You can give. I hope you will continue to give. And I know this church is a missional church that supports multiple missionaries. Give a little more. Give a little more to your local church to support missions and evangelism. Give a little more to the All Africa Baptist Fellowship, which is supporting mission efforts all over Africa. Give a little more. This last year, I doubled the amount that the BWA was giving in evangelism and mission. I'd like to double it again. Give a little more because we believe that all peoples in all places need to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And did you know that in the last 10 years, your global Baptist family has grown 31%? Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that God is growing our own particular Baptist family all over the world? But of course, it's different region by region. In the last 10 years, Baptists in Europe have declined 7%, and in North America have declined 6%. Anybody shocked or surprised to hear Baptists in Europe and North America are struggling? But Baptists in Asia in the last 10 years have grown 6%. In the Caribbean, they've grown 43%. In Latin America, they've grown 33%. And in the last 10 years, Baptists and the All Africa Baptist Fellowship, Baptists across the continent of Africa have grown, do you know, 161%. We thank God for the church in Africa. We thank God for you. We thank God for Baptists all over the world. That when the passion for evangelism for some has gone down, when the passion for supporting cross-cultural mission has gone down for some, that so many in Africa remain deeply committed to sharing and living out a gospel faith. We remember the words of that famed German Baptist theologian from the 1800s, Johann Gerhard Onken, whose famous saying was this, you remember? Every Baptist, a missionary. Pastor, as I look out across this beautiful church and see all of these wonderful leaders, you know what I see? A whole lot of missionaries. Do you still believe that? Every Baptist, a missionary. You probably know that across Africa, there are 988 unreached people groups. 988 people groups from Sudan, a beautiful country. I love Sudan. I've been there several times, from Sudan all the way down to Tanzania, from Morocco to Nigeria, to all across South Africa and Southern Africa. There are still so many who do not know the hope of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. I'd love to come back a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, and hear how this church has adopted one of those unreached people groups and has shared the love of Jesus Christ with them. Go. Go and be blessed. You are blessed in order to be a to whom? To all the peoples of the earth. So I'm asking as we wrap up today, will you see with me? Will you see with me all of the large metropolitan areas across Africa, filled with townships and communities, filled with individuals who are living with vibrancy, yet sometimes struggling. Will you see with me men and women and boys and girls and rich and poor, young and old, male and female, those near and those who are far, those across your street, those in your community, and those around the world. Will you see with me, through the eyes of a loving God and Father, a crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ, and a Holy Spirit that calls us forward? For we are invited to an unfinished mandate. We are blessed to be a blessing to all the peoples on the earth. So would you pray? Would you pray? Would you pray? I was in Nigeria some years ago, and I was interviewing a young woman who'd been captured by Boko Haram. Would you pray for Nigeria? It's the only country in the world that has two of the top five most lethal terrorist organizations active in it. Somewhere around 5,000 to 6,000 people were killed last year in Nigeria alone, 90% of whom were Christians. Would you pray for Nigeria? I was in Nigeria. I was visiting with a young woman who'd been held captive by Boko Haram. And after she escaped from Boko Haram, it's a horrific story, as you might imagine. I asked this young woman, I said, listen, you've shared with us a lot of really challenging things. What do you want us to know? How can we pray? This is how she responded. She said, I pray that all the other peoples in the world will never know the terror that I have experienced. Now, brothers and sisters, if people who've been held captive by Boko Haram are praying for you, would you pray for them? Would you, before you gather next Sunday, would you intentionally, sacrificially bless someone else? Would you intentionally, sacrificially bless a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, a classmate? Would you intentionally and sacrificially bless someone this week? Would you participate with us at the Baptist Road Alliance in what we're calling Go 2020? I'm asking all Baptists across the world to set aside the month of May 2020 and for every Baptist in the month of May to share their faith with someone else. What would happen if all 47 million Baptists around the world shared their faith in 1 month with someone else? And I'm asking if every Baptist church could use the month of May 2020 to start a new discipleship unit. Maybe it's a new Sunday school class. Maybe it's a new cell group. Maybe it's a new home. Maybe it's another new church. So I'm asking churches all over the world, will you commit May 2020 to pray for that month, to prepare yourself, and to share your faith with abandon? We're going to do that in May 2020. And then 2 months later, we're going to join together as a global Baptist family in Rio de Janeiro, and we're going to celebrate what God has done. And I would love to see you there. These big world congresses are open not just to pastors, although we hope pastors come. They're open to any and every Baptist to come together to say, we are family. And this Congress, this next year, will be chaired by a South African. Come and be present and support him. We're so grateful to be here today. BWA Baptists, we still believe. We still believe in an unfinished mandate. We still believe in a great commission. We still believe we are blessed to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful to be here with this church, to be here with the Baptists of South Africa, to be here with the All Africa Baptist Fellowship, to be here as a global Baptist family. And Father, we're so thankful for the work that you are doing in so many places around the world. And today, Lord, we ask for a special blessing and a special prayer for so many Baptist mothers all around the world who are struggling with how will we feed our children, who are struggling with how will we pay our school fees, who are struggling in the midst of persecution, who are struggling in places where bombs are falling and even living in caves. We pray for Baptists who are imprisoned in forgotten cells. We pray for Baptists all over the world. And we pray, Lord, that not only will you bless them, but that you will empower them to live out your gospel witness in a transforming way. Lord, would you continue to raise up Baptists in this church, which is already such a missional church, but bless them even more, that their blessing may carry over into the community, into the country, into the region, and to all over the world. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this leadership. And we ask, Lord, would you help us once again say that we surrender. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.